I want to go on now a little bit more about, because about Mark 13 and its description. It's a description of many things that have already happened, but not the eschatological moment, the final eschaton moment has not happened yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in one place after another. There will be famine. These are the beginning of the birth pangs. This notion of the Odini is a very common apocalyptic notion. The woman's birth pangs, which come suddenly and are terribly painful. This is what the end. And all those anticipation of the end are going to look. Now the text goes on, look to yourselves. They will hand you over to Sanhedrins, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a witness to them, and you will be stood before kings for my sake. After the good news, first, the good news must be preached to the nations. And now some advice. There can be, as there are in our own time, we're living in an anticipation of the last days. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, there's persecution. It's all going on. And the presence of Christ and the heroes who are realizing his presence in their own fidelity to him. And when they take you, handing you over, do not worry ahead of time of what you will say. Rather, whatever is given to you at that time, say that. For it will not be you who is speaking, but rather the Holy Spirit. That's very important. Even if in our own lifetime we're sent to jail, or relax, let the Holy Spirit speak. I think I've already mentioned about that woman, Tatiana Goricheva, who was a Russian philosopher, became a Christian, and then the KGB would interrogate her. She said, now look, I'm a professor of philosophy, and they're just ignorant bullies. But there's no way I'm going to try to take them on, because Satan is helping them. And I'll just let God help me. Brother will hand over brother to death, and a father his child. How many times has this happened? And still does happen. You see? Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end, he will be saved. And therefore, and then this very touching thing. And the one on the roof should not come down to get anything. And the one in the field should not turn around or go into the house to get his garment. And alas, for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. And pray that it not happen during a storm. These are themes that you can find when this eschatological moment is talked about in the Old Testament. There will be in those days tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of creation, which God created up until now, and will not be again. And so that is the beginning of this story. Now, I want to take the rest of my translation from, I'll take it from the Jerusalem Bible since I have it here. I wanted to go back over this because this fascinates people. And in days like our own, with governments trying to pervert their people and oppress their people, governments in conflict with one another, and therefore God's regular people being caught in wars and persecutions, in torture, and saying, is this the end of the world? No, it's an eschatological moment. All the factors that will be there at the end of the world. But it's not the end of the world yet, as far as we can tell. And so, the text goes on. And if anyone should say to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and produce signs and portents to deceive the elect, if that were possible. You therefore must be on your guard. I have forewarned you of everything. So all the great, even the great accomplishments of science that are dazzling, but they're not signs of the end of the world. In those days, after that time of distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will lose its brightness, the stars will come falling from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then, too, he will send the angels to gather his chosen from the four winds, from the ends of the world to the ends of heaven. Now, there's a tendency in our own day to take these sort of descriptions and give them a very, very literal understanding. There's also the other extreme. Oh, this is just, you know, abstract talk. It doesn't, you know, these kind of things are going to happen. They happen already as a foreshadowing of the eschaton, of the last moment. Then our Lord gives us a warning for us as well. Take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So look around. What do you see? Wars and rumors of wars, persecution. What's the meaning of this? This is a moment of crisis. It's not the final crisis. So what's the call on Christians? To love and to preach the gospel, to help people enter in. Until these things happen, most people never think of their death at all or of the judgment they're going to meet up with. These things are a way of bringing people to reality. And after that warning, there's another warning. Be on your guard. Stay awake, because you never know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He's gone from home and left his servants in charge, each with his own attack, you see, with his own task. That when the master of the house is coming back, midnight, cockcrow, or dawn, if he comes unexpectedly, he must not find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now, how do we stay awake, my friends? We can't stay awake all night waiting to see if tonight's the night the world is going to end. No, we stay awake. And that's why the word that's used here, Grigorite, is what shepherds do guarding their flock. Watch. Be alert. We won't be alert if we're not praying. Reading all the science fiction, reading all the newspaper, we'll never give it to you. You've got to be praying. And that's the advice, huh? That's given there. Now, between that beginning and that end, you see, we have many stories and many warnings. Take care that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name and using my name and saying, I am he, and they will deceive many. Anybody who can promise us peace, comfort, money, will follow him until you realize they can't deliver. And so, in a time now like ours, where there's great anxiety and great tension. You see, is it the end of the world? No, I don't think so. It's the end of a world, but not the end of the world. But the call for us as Christians is to be awake, know what's going on, see what's going on, help people see what's going on, and bring them to know Jesus Christ, to love him and trust him and rely on him. But we just can't skip chapter 13 in Mark and go on. Oh, that's all scary stuff. It is. But it's this anticipated moment in which we probably live, not the end moment. But things are difficult. In how many parts of the world are Christians being persecuted to this day? How many thousands of Christians have been killed right now in the Middle East? What's the deep instinct? Satanic. These people might hate, but they're not Satan. But Satan is provoking them. And that's what he's being, what's being said, you see. So we're at the realization of a crucial moment. And in that sense, an eschatological moment. But not the end of the world. But we have to be alert, my friends. Our Lord is saying, stay awake. How do we stay awake? We pray. We ponder. We interpret what's going on. And we try to help other people to see it, you see? Brother will betray brothers to death. That happens. The communists took over Russia. Nazis took over Germany. Families were divided. Children turning in their parents. Parents turning in their children. That's a characteristic of an eschatological moment. But the world didn't end. Germany is completely different. And Russia is still quite a threat. Since the good news must first be proclaimed to all the nations, there have been great missionaries who have gone out to preach in order to hasten the last day. After all the Gentiles have had their opportunity to hear the good news, you see. You will be hated by all men on account of my name, but the man who stands firm to the end will be saved. We have to practice that. We can't collapse in the face of persecution or mockery. And we don't reply with anger or smarter than you are. We need the Lord. Don't worry what you're going to say. I will give you words at that moment. And that can happen. It's happened to me. But I would have said one thing. And as I prayed, I understood I was supposed to say something very different. They talk about the disaster of the fall and the ruin of Jerusalem. And here again, we have this notion of a prophecy being fulfilled, and yet even the fulfillment is only the harbinger of something yet to come. And so, that's the point of this. Why do I go back over it? Because it's not sensationalism, but it is realism. This world is going to end. And there will be a moment, huh? And a genuinely eschatological terminating moment. There are four realizations, anticipated realizations of that moment. And we're living through one. Don't you see the Christians being persecuted? Can you see the wars, the threat of wars? Can you see the atom bombs and the gas and the rest? And then hating one another and not knowing how to get out of it. Oh, we'll have a meeting and we'll negotiate. It never works. Everybody's looking for us. Only the Lord Christ can come as ever he wants to come, in the saints, however, and bring peace. The thing that we have to be careful of is playing spiritual roulette. I can tell just when it's going to happen. No, you can't. The Lord said you can't. I would urge you to go and study this material. There is a very fine book that treats of this in quite detail. It's called Jesus, the Tribulation and the End of the Exile. It's by a man by the name of Brant Petrie. He's a young scholar. This was his doctorate at the University, I think, of Notre Dame or Chicago, I forgot which, who carefully goes over these texts. It's not so important that you go over the texts. It's important that you know, like Therese, that there is a heaven, and God's calling you there, and what you do now will affect how and when you get there. Amen.